Feed the World.
Stall Road, Horsham and Brougham Street, Neil.
At the recent meeting of agriculture ministers, the federal government committed to Australia's first national climate risk assessment and a national adaptation plan. So what does that mean for farming? Tom English spoke to Farmers for Climate Action Board Director and Victorian farmer Brett Hosking.
Look, it's probably the first time that we have got all of the states and the federal ag minister all sitting down in the one room saying, hey guys, we actually recognise that, climate change is having an impact on our farmers, on their ability to continue producing clean, healthy, safe, nutritious food. And it's also something that we really need to take action about now. And, you know, it in itself is just a statement, but it's what comes next, what can come out of that that's really exciting. It's maybe that opportunity for states to sit down and, you know, share stories, learn from each other and maybe think about what we can do to make a real change.
You mentioned the acknowledgement there from obviously government, but is the sector entirely on board? Do they all acknowledge the role climate change is playing?
Look, I think anybody who farms in Australia realises that the climate we're farming in today is different to what it was before. You know, I know on my farm, you know, we see more out-of-season rain, we see more severe dry spells, we see wetter wet spells. We're seeing that greater variability, and I think everyone acknowledges that. I think largely farmers are sitting there saying, well, we know something's changed. We're not exactly sure what our role in it. We're flat out just trying to manage what that means to our businesses and to our farms. You know, and we're probably going to need some help around taking those next steps. You know, when we talk about climate change, the general population across Australia has one goal, and that's about thinking about how they reduce emissions, you know, reduce their own carbon footprint. Our farmers actually have a second goal. They have to think about how they reduce their emissions, but also how do we continue to grow fresh food and fibre here in this country when we know that climate change is having such an impact on what we do, when we're living with the very coalface, when our business partner is effectively the Australian environment. So that's where farmers have got an extra challenge ahead of them that the average Australian doesn't have.
And this comes for a sector which has its own challenges already.
Yeah, absolutely. We farm in that country where the poem was written about droughts and flooding rains. And I think I remember years and years ago, probably 20 years ago now, just showing at my age, but a farmer once said to me, if you farm for 10 years, Brett, you'll see it all. You'll see the best of seasons and the worst of seasons. And I think that's absolutely true. The only thing I'd say is I actually think farming climate change might be speeding that cycle up, and maybe you only have to farm for 6 or 7 years now to see the best and worst of seasons. So, you know, it's a real challenge. We need to act now to help our farmers manage that change, but we also need to be thinking about what's our role in how we reduce emissions and make a difference.
And so the statement, we have that now, but what does action look like as far as you're concerned?
Well, the statement is actually much easier than the action. So, you know, we've got different states are doing different things, and that's to be expected. You know, there's no way to expect the Queensland government to do the same as the Tasmanian government. They're in very different climates, very different regions. But hopefully what they're doing is they're starting to share stories about what's working, what isn't working. We really need government to engage with the farmers themselves and to learn from the farmers around what does actually make a difference on farm, what are the opportunities. And we have to do all of this making sure that we continue to maintain or grow our productivity on farm. So it's not easy, that's to be sure, because you know, we don't really have a food security problem here in Australia. We're really blessed. We probably have an obesity problem more than a starvation problem, but we're surrounded by countries all around us that do wake up every day thinking about food security. And so our responsibility is to make sure we're as productive as we can be with our agricultural production to make sure they don't have to worry about their food security any more than we do.
But how do you think you do enact a national plan while at the same time, as you mentioned there, each state has their own very unique challenges?
Yeah, look, I think it's that information sharing. I'm a big advocate for knowledge. You know, what I've had this absolute privilege over my career to spend time meeting with farmers, particularly grain farmers from right across Australia, all the different states, from farmers who farm in high rainfall areas to those who farm in some of the driest areas. And hearing about the changes they implement on their own place is really exciting. And I think as we start to develop tools, as we start to develop information, so farmers can recognise which of their activities generate emissions, which ones actually reduce emissions. as they learn from each other around what makes a difference on their farm, then what we'll actually see is the farmers themselves will come up with the solution. The more power we can give to them, the better off we are. Government's role in that is that making sure that we've got, work being invested in making sure farmers can understand and have those tools to make change, and that when they do want to make change, they're supported to do so. They're not burdened by regulation or cost or anything like that. So governments really have a big task to do in this, and it's about listening and working with the sector. But let's hope that this first step means they're up for it.
Brett Hosking, Victorian farmer and board director of Farmers for Climate Action, speaking with Tom English.
On Country Today, the market report for Nutrien Ag Solutions, 7 Golf Course Road, Horsham.
To the National Livestock Report, here's Damien Thompson from Auctions Plus.
In the major indicative livestock market, cattle numbers at Dalby reduced by 858 head down to 4,132. NLIRS reported that all the regular buyers were in attendance and most classes improved in price. Lightweight yearling steers returning to the paddock made to 405 cents, with a large sample at 351 and poor quality lines averaged 273. Yearling steers to feed for the domestic market averaged around 350. Heavyweight yearling steers to feed averaged 336 cents. Lightweight yearling heifers returning to the paddock averaged 238 cents. Yearling heifers to feed averaged from 283 to 315. Heavyweight yearling heifers to feed were also in demand and averaged 290 cents. Heavy grown steers and bullocks to export processors averaged 287. Medium weight 2-score cows averaged 177 cents a kilo. Heavyweight 3-score cows averaged 205 cents. Good heavyweight cows made to a top of 225 with an average of 217. Lamb numbers at Carcor were back by 1,300 for a yarding of 6,300 lambs. NLRS reported that the quality of the lambs remained only fair, with a good percentage of plainer secondary lambs throughout. Light lambs to the processors were up to $20 cheaper, with the 12 to 18 kilo 2-scores selling from $27 to $58 a head. Trade lambs were $10 to $15 cheaper, with the 20 to 24 kilo lambs selling from $65 to $132 to average between 415 cents and 505 cents a kilo carcass weight. Heavyweight lambs were up to $15 cheaper, with the lambs over 24 kilo selling from $122 to $152 to average between 485 and 515 cents a kilo carcass weight. Lambs to the restockers were up to $22 cheaper, selling from $15 to $70 a head. Hoggets sold to $70, while Merino ewe hoggets scanned in lamb to Dorset Rams sold to the restockers for $43 and $50 a head. There were 1,500 mixed mutton yarded, where most grades were $6 to $11 a head cheaper. Merino ewes sold from $20 to $78, while crossbred ewes sold from $36 to $110 a head. Merino wethers sold from $16 to $72 a head. The Cascade Pole Hereford and Angus annual bull sale was interfaced with Auctions Plus yesterday. 29 out of 30 Pole Hereford bulls sold to an average of 8,724 and a top of 26,000 for lot 2. 35 of the 40 Angus bulls sold to an average of 11,257 and a top of 26,000 for lot 48. I'm Damien Thompson with the Auctions Plus Livestock Report, Australia's most trusted livestock marketplace.
With the grain report, here's Tom Herbert from ProFarmer Grain.
Local grain markets were generally firmer across all port zones, with wheat in particular increasing, mainly on the back of stronger US markets. Looking at international markets, seaborne corn made gains overnight due to dry weather in key growing regions of the US applying upwards pressure on the market. Seaborne wheat future contracts increased as ongoing tensions surrounding the Black Sea export deal continue, and ice canola value shifted upwards due to dry conditions in key growing regions of Canada. We expect local grain markets to be higher today. Seaborne September 23 wheat prices went up $33 to $395 a tonne. Ice November 23 canola values went up $15 to $944 a tonne. You can keep up to date with today's local pricing action with ProFarmer Price Discovery at profarmergrain.com.au.
On 1089 3WM, Country Today. For Traction Ag, sales, service, knowledge and more. Helping you feed the world.
Stall Road, Horsham and Brougham.